Good morning, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Kalk. We're meeting on the 12th floor of the Capitol today for our regularly scheduled commission meeting. It is Wednesday, May 28th, approximately 10 a.m. I don't really have any opening comments. Just a reminder for folks, I'll be at the MARC conference next week with John will be down there and Stacy. So Daryl, you have to keep track of all that stuff that those two are doing. So I know we should be back on, I think, Wednesday we get back. So other than that, I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Christman?
My only opening comments would be a kind of reflection of last week's petroleum conference.
Sure.
What an amazing thing to observe and take part in. The growth is, as we all know, phenomenal, but the attitudes are what I find so interesting. And it was the same thing 2 years ago when it was here in Bismarck and I attended, and this year again. It's seems like it's kind of almost a new frontier of business activity and opportunities for people who maybe don't have a lot of training in a particular career field. Almost anything you want to do, if people are willing to work at it, there's opportunity for them out in that oil patch right now. And so it was a pretty fascinating time, learned a lot, and I think that almost as each year goes by, I get more confident that this is not a quick boom and bust cycle like we experienced 30 years ago, but something that's going to be with us for the long term and I think is ultimately going to be a very good thing for the state of North Dakota.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Florczak.
I don't have any opening comments.
All right. Perfect. We'll go ahead. We have a few items on consent. I would move passage of the consent items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Daryl. Before I move on to the regular agenda, I just wanted to highlight one thing that was on consent. I didn't want to put it in the regular agenda because I felt consent was fine, but there was item consent BK5 where the commission acknowledged that Whiting withdrew its one-call complaint against Davinia Incorporated. I did a little follow-up on that because just because the complaint request is withdrawn doesn't mean that the PSC couldn't still then go forward with a complaint of our own. But when I look through the rationale that Whiting did, why they withdrew their complaint, Whiting has been paid completely for all the damages that Avinia caused. Also, Avinia has required their employees associated with excavating to attend Whiting's one-call and excavation policies training, as well as they've really ramped up their training inside of Avinia because of this incident. So I thought that was certainly seemed like a reasonable resolution that they were able to work out themselves before it got to us. But I do think this is something that we should look at. I'd actually talked with Pat about this a little bit, to where if we do go through and end up finding a company for violating one-call law, maybe we start considering putting in that they send their people to training as part of the provisions. It just seems like something that we could be doing, we should be doing. And when I talk with Ryan Schmaltz about it, they're always eager to get out and do more training for their locators. So just figured I'd tee that up a little bit.
That's an interesting concept. Do they does One Call have folks available to do that? Would they charge?
They're happy to do it, and Ryan always has people that he can get out. If nothing else, it'll be him and do it.
Yeah.
So and they have the I don't know if it's quarterly, but I think it is quarterly, the different meetings. I'm missing the word of what it's called now here, the locator conferences they have. Even like we're not talking about the hearings, but we've had hearings where people are just unaware of participating, so maybe that's a condition we start looking at.
I like that idea.
So, okay, we'll move to the regular scheduled agenda, item BK1. I move the commission close its investigation into Basin Electric Power Cooperative Wind Turbine Decommissioning Investigation, case number PU 13-793, and consider the decommissioning plan and need for financial assurances for the two turbine mine at wind project when the decommissioning plan and need for financial assurance is considered for Basin Electric's adjacent Prairie Winds project.
Second.
Wow, that's a mouthful there. The little background on this motion and the next one. In September of 2013, the commission opened four investigations of wind farms that had been in operation for 10 years. FPL had two projects, this project, Basin Electric's PU 13793, And for the next motion, Minn Kota Power Cooperatives, PU 13796. So the way this is kind of unfolded, the first two, the FPL cases, PU 13794 and 795, we have those open now for anyone requesting hearings. And the next two, we're dealing with today's motions. But in October of last year, both Minn Kota and Basin filed updated decommissioning plans. In March of this year, the commission had a work session where all four cases were discussed. In April, we conducted a second work session where we basically laid out the path forward for what we're going to do in these cases. So as the motion laid out in this case, these two particular turbines are south of Minot, will be included in the plan that when it comes in front of the commission for Basin Electric's adjacent Prairie Winds project. So I think this was a good process that we've started now in the commission, now that there's wind farms in operation for 10 years, and I certainly support this motion.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Item BK2. I move the commission close Minn Kota Power Cooperative Inc.'s wind turbine decommissioning investigation, case number PU 13-796.
Second.
And this one, basically the information I talked through in the previous case applies all the way down through till the very end. In this particular case, Minn Kota has two turbines that were set as basically a demonstration projects. One is located east of Valley City and one is in the Petersburg area. In our work sessions, basically felt that we didn't have the concern based on the fact that they were individual turbines, high visibility area, and Minn Kota certainly had the resources to take care of them at the time that they would no longer be producing electricity.
Here we have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thanks, Darrell. All right. Item BK3. I move the commission adopt the order granting certificate of public convenience and necessity number 5831 to Northern State Power Company, authorizing the extension of approximately 1,100 feet of 230 kV electric transmission line and associated facilities necessary to interconnect Northern State Power Company's Prairie Substation, located within the city of Grand Forks, with Minn Kota Power Cooperative Inc.'s Prairie Substation, located in Brenna Township, Grand Forks County, North Dakota, case number PU 14-126.
Second.
In this case, in March of this year, NSP filed an application for a certificate of public convenience and necessity to add a transformer to NSP's Prairie Substation and extend 230 kV electric transmission line a distance of approximately 1,100 feet to interconnect with Minn Kota Power Cooperative's Prairie Substation. In 2010, the Grand Forks load serving study indicated the best solution for area voltage issues was to install the new transformer and also extend the 1,100 feet of 230 kV line to interconnect the two substations. In the application, it looks like if this is approved, the transformer would be installed yet this year. The line would be constructed in 2015 and hopefully have the project all put into place in early 2016. The cost of this is approximately $13 million. And I appreciate XL's work on this to make sure there's studies taking place that we can keep the grid reliable. So this is certainly a needed project, and I look forward to it passing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I would just add that the cost of this project was, I believe, included in the rate case that we as settlement and is already accounted for in terms of covering the costs.
Excellent point.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. And finally for me, item BK4. I move the commission adopt the order granting a certificate of site compatibility in the application of Whiting Oil and Gas Corporation, case number PU 13-835.
Second.
In October of last year, 2013, Whiting Oil and Gas filed with the PSC an application for a certificate of site compatibility for its Robinson Lake gas plant. And basically what this is there's a plant that's been in operation there since roughly 2007 when construction was started. When it was built, it was below the threshold that the commission does the siting. The threshold is 100 million standard cubic feet per day, and this plant has been in operation well below that for many years. But the existing plant, the way it sits right now, is 97.5, and the company wants to increase that volume to 110, which then makes it jurisdictional. So the commission originally we deemed the application complete in December 18th of 2013, and we had a hearing scheduled March 4th of 2014, but due to inclement weather, the commission was unable to get up there, and so the commission rescheduled the hearing for April 10th, and we certainly conducted that hearing at that time. Quite honestly, there wasn't a lot of everyone that testified that day was testified in support of it. A little background on the project. These activities to increase the size really don't change the purpose and function of the plant. It'll all occur within the existing project site. Whiting has been in consultation with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, as well as the North Dakota Parks and Rec, as well as the North Dakota State Historical Preservation Office and the Department of Health. No issues have arisen. No avoidance areas are present within the project site. There were no cultural resources identified within the project site. And really, this case was the fact that it was an existing plant, and the company reached out and met with all the appropriate agencies that were required during siting. It was a pretty smooth hearing. One thing I would note, that this is yet one more use for more natural gas in the state, which is a very, very good thing. And Whiting anticipates further expansion of this plant and is committed to providing this commission with certificates in accordance with the appropriate law. So what's interesting, this will move the project to 110 million cubic standard feet per day, but they already have plans to make it even more capacity. So I look forward to that when that time comes, and everything certainly seems to be in order from my viewpoint.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I'll just add, I think I understood this right, that Whiting, among the, at least the bigger oil and gas companies, has the lowest percentage of flared natural gas in the oil patch, and this plant is one of the major reasons why they're able to process so much of it rather than flaring it, and they're also processing some gas for some of the other companies in the area as well. So it's a pretty important project as far as eliminating the need for so much flaring.
Thank you, Randy. And I also neglected to put the costs out there. The total investment since 2007 has been approximately $150 million, and the expansion, this current expansion, will cost an additional $3 million. So there's a significant investment by Whiting. But as you pointed out, Commissioner, it's certainly paid off in their ability to reduce flaring in the region.
Is there any further discussion? And seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right, thank you, Daryl. That concludes the items in my portfolio. Commissioner Christman.
Okay, the first item that I have, I move the commission conditionally approve surface coal mining permit number BNCR-1101 to BNI Coal Limited to permit 8,359.72 acres of land at the Center Mine.
Second.
On December 12th of 2011, BNI Coal filed the application to permit 8,359.72 acres at the Center Mine. The permit area joins existing Center Mine permits and expands the Center Mine to about 4 miles south of the Milton R. Young Station. Mining activities will begin in late 2014. BNI plans to begin coal removal in 2015 with projected production of 2.5 million tons for the first year of production. Coal will be mined on about 5,100 acres of the permit area. A sizable portion of the remaining acreage will be disturbed for soil and overburden stockpiles, access and haul roads, and water management structures used in support of the mining activities. The predominant pre-mining land uses in the permit area are a little over 4,100 acres of native grassland and over 3,200 acres of cropland. The acreage of each post-mining land use will be somewhat similar to the premise to the pre-mine conditions. There are 5 occupied farmsteads located in the permit area, and BNI proposes to eventually disturb 4 of these farmsteads as mining progresses across the permit area. I had mentioned this is a conditional approval. There are 4 special conditions. The permit area contains federal coal in 120 acres. So special condition number 1 is that we prohibit any overburden or coal removal from the federal coal tracts until BNI receives the coal lease and the Secretary of Interior approves the federal mine plan. The second special condition, BNI has stated that it has a coal lease with Great Northern Properties Limited Partnership, but it has not included that in the permit application for confidential reasons. So special condition number two prohibits mining on this tract until BNI submits documents showing that it has legal right to mine the coal. Then BNI has attempted to determine coal ownership for the northeast quarter of Section 20 during the application review period. A district court judge recently issued an order with a decree listing the coal owners. Based on the court decree, BNI does not currently have coal leases for at least 75% of the coal rights as required by the North Dakota Century Code. So special condition number three prohibits mining on this tract until additional documents are submitted showing it has the legal right to mine the coal. Next, on April 3rd of this year, the Oliver County Board of Commissioners approved BNI's petition to temporarily close several section lines, permanently close one section line, and conduct mining operations within 100 feet of the outside right-of-way. So special condition number four requires BNI to provide provide this commission with copies of the road authority's approval documents within 30 days of the approval date and include the written findings made by the road authority. Then beyond the conditions, two parcels are excluded from the boundaries of the permit area. Mining is not projected to occur within several hundred feet of Great River Energy Communications Tower, and that's in Section 8. And then the St. Lucas Cemetery in Section 18 includes the required 100-foot setback from the cemetery. BNI published the permit application notice in the Center Republican and Bismarck Tribune in December of 2012 and January of 2013, and this commission sent notices to all surface owners that will be affected by the permit application, as well as the numerous local, state, and federal agencies. In addition, advisory committee members were provided copies of the permit application for their review and comment. No objections or requests for an informal conference were received in this permit application, and no major issues were raised during the permit application review. The Reclamation Division has determined that a bond in the amount of $14,285,000 is sufficient to cover the required reclamation, restoration, and abatement work for the mining and associated disturbances proposed in this application. BNI filed a surety bond in the amount of $15 million. The bond was found to be properly executed and is approved with an effective date of May 27th of 2014. The Reclamation Division has completed its review of this permit application and respectfully recommends that it be conditionally approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
One thing I would add, this was for, just under 8,360 acres. The existing mine site, mine permit, is 9,668 acres. So we're just about doubling the size of that permit area.
Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, RC2, I move the commission conditionally approve revision number 27 to surface coal mining permit KRSB-8603 held by Dakota Westmoreland Corporation to add 892.2 acres to this permit for the Beulah mine and to update the appropriate sections of the permit for mining in the added area.
Second.
On January 28th of 2013, Dakota Westmoreland filed an application for revision number 27 to permit 892.2 acres for the Beulah mine. The area being added to the permit adjoins the south side of the existing permit area. The addition of these just under 900 acres to the existing permit will allow the continuation of mining in an existing pit sequence. With the added acreage, the total permit area will increase to 3,558 acres. There's one condition here. The condition will be attached to the approval of Revision 27 that pertains to federal coal tracks again within the area being added to the permit. BLM issued an amendment to Dakota Westmoreland's existing federal coal lease in late 2013 for an additional federal coal track that's included in this revision. The permit condition will prohibit Dakota Westmoreland from removing overburden and coal on the federal tracks until the Department of the Interior approves the mine plan modification. Revision 27 was deemed a significant revision, making it subject to the public notice requirements. Dakota Westmoreland submitted affidavits of publication of the required newspaper notices. We notified the appropriate agencies, the affected landowners, and advisory committee members of the revision application. We received no objections or requests for informal conferences on this application. An updated worst-case reclamation cost estimate for bonding was also included in Revision 27, and that cost estimate totaled $7,932,000. However, the current surety bond for this permit is in the amount of $8,169,000. The Reclamation Division has determined the current amount is sufficient. Dakota Westmoreland has filed a stipulation to increase the bond area by these 892 acres. So the Reclamation Division has completed its review of this revision and respectfully recommends that it be conditionally approved. I would add, I didn't write this down, I think Jim said that with these two additions, we will have, I believe he said, 127,000 acres in active mine permits in the state.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC3, I move the commission execute contract number AM-697-14 with B&C Concrete Pumping Incorporated in the amount of $751,175 for drilling and pressurized grouting at the 2014 Scranton-Bowman Phase 2 AML project in Adams and Bowman counties.
Second.
In early March, the AML division issued an invitation for bids for rotary drilling and pressurized grouting at the 2014 Scranton-Bowman Phase 2 project. Competitive sealed bidding procedures were used with notices issued to the appropriate registered vendors through the State Procurement Office. Newspaper notices for the bid opportunity were also published in six daily newspapers around the state. Only one responsive bid was received. The bid came from B&C Concrete Pumping Incorporated of Williston in the amount of the $751.75. The staff estimate for this work, though, was $778,500. A contract was sent to them for signing on May 8th. The signed contract has been returned and properly executed performance and payment bonds. Liability insurance documents and other materials were also submitted by B&C as requested. The contract is now ready for execution by the Commission. The ML Division has sufficient funds and current OSM grants for this and the other projects planned for 2014.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
And my last agenda item is kind of a part of the same project, a different part of the same project. I move the commission execute contract number 698-14 with Northeast Technical Services Incorporated in the amount of $32,500 for material testing and other services for the 2014 Scranton-Bowman Phase 2 AML project in Adams and Bowman counties.
Second.
We have a separate contract for the collection and lab testing of grout samples and other services. So in early March, the AML division issued the invitation for bids for this material testing and other services at this Scranton-Bowman project. Competitive sealed bidding procedures were used again, and with notices issued to specified registered vendors through the state procurement offices. In this case, three responsive bids were received. The low bidder was Northeast Technical Services of Virginia, Minnesota, in the amount of $32,500. The other two bids were $35,200 and $38,580. The staff estimate for this work was $38,000. The contract was sent to Northeast Technical Services for signing on May 8th. The signed contract has been returned and properly executed performance and payment bonds, liability insurance documents, and other materials were also submitted by them as requested. The contract is now ready for execution by the commission, and the AML division again does point out they have sufficient funds and current OSM grants for this and the other projects planned in this year.
Do we have a motion and a second? Is there further discussion?
I just want to thank Jim and his crew upstairs. These last four motions, they don't seem like that much because they're just pretty straightforward motions, but I know you guys put a lot of work into this over the last several years, and so just thank you for your work. You always bring us good, clean projects, and appreciate it, Jim.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
That completes my portfolio.
All right. Commissioner Fedorchak, any comments today?
I don't. An awfully quiet day for me. My one item was withdrawn, so
I was there too.
Stay tuned on that one.
Okay. Well, let's see. Any closing comments, Commissioner Fedorchak, anything?
I don't have anything.
Commissioner Christman?
No, I don't.
The only comment I would say is that the next week the president is set to release his rules on CO2, and so we'll see what happens there. I anticipate the three of us having a lot of discussion about that once those rules come out. And there's a 120-day comment period, the way I understand it right now. The last I was on the phone yesterday. So sometime next week, the rules on CO2 for existing plants will come out. We'll have to figure out what exactly our response is for what we want to put in for the 120 days, but I think that'll become a big item we'll work on. So other than that, I don't have anything else. Any questions from any of the crowd? Okay, do you two want to take a break, or should we just roll right into the admin?
We can roll.
Okay. Go ahead and we'll close the official portion of the meeting.